And it's the story of Gideon. Gideon, God whispered. Oh, Gideon, God called. I need your help, you brave and mighty man. But Gideon was nowhere to be found. As a matter of fact, he was hiding in a pit his father used for crushing grapes.
You can't be talking to me, Gideon stammered. I'm no brave and mighty man.
But God knew what he was doing. He always does. You're the man, all right, God said. The Midianites have my people surrounded, and I want you to round up an army to go and stop them. Gideon was not sure. So he said to God, if you really want me to fight the Midianites, then please, will you give me a sign? I'll put a sheep's fleece on the ground. So like the sheepskin rug, I meant to bring ours, but I don't know where it is. Sheep's fleece on the ground. And in the morning, if the fleece is wet with dew and the ground's dry, then I'll know that you'll do exactly what you promised. So God did exactly that. And in the morning, Gideon had to wring the water out of the fleece. Gideon was still worried. But God knew exactly what he was doing. He always does. So when Gideon asked God to make the ground wet with dew and the fleece dry the next night, God did it. He had the right man. He knew exactly what he was doing. He always does. Gideon did what God told him. And to his surprise, over 30,000 men agreed to join his army.
Gideon,
God whispered. Oh, Gideon, God called. You have far too many men. I want to send some of them away.
There are more Midianites than I can count, said Gideon. I need all the help I can get.
But God knew what he was doing. He always does. I'm all the help you need, God said. So tell the men who were frightened to go home. Gideon did what God told him. When he finished, there were only 10,000 left.
Gideon,
God whispered. Oh, Gideon, God called. You still have too many men. So here's what I want you to do. Gideon listened to God's plan. Gideon stammered. Gideon shook. Then he led his men to the river and told them to have a drink. Some soldiers lapped up the water like dogs. Down on all fours again. Gideon told them to go home. Others got down on their knees and scooped up the water in their hands. Those were the soldiers Gideon kept. And when he'd finished, there were only 300 left.
Gideon,
God whispered. Oh, Gideon, God called. Now you're ready to fight the Midianites.
But there are thousands of them, Gideon stammered. And only 300 of us. How can we possibly win?
You can't, God said. No, not without my help. And here's what I want you to see. Now listen, here's the plan. Later that night, Gideon led his 300 men to the edge of the Midianite camp. In every hand, a soldier carried a trumpet, and in the other hand, an earthenware pot with a flaming torch inside so that it was hidden. There wasn't a sword in sight. At Gideon's signal, the soldiers blew their trumpets, smashed their pots, and shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon!" The Midianite soldiers awoke, startled. It seemed as there was noise and fire all around them. Dazed and confused, they stumbled around in the dark, into each other and over each other. And it wasn't long before they all started fighting each other. When all the fighting had stopped, the Midianite soldiers who were left ran away, convinced they'd been defeated by a great and mighty army. But it was only Gideon, his 300 men, and a God who knew what he was doing all the time. Right, now I'm going to need your help because this mutt is in hibernation mode. So I'm going to need you, do you want to come, those who want to, do you want to come down to the front and sit on the carpet at the front?
Put your top drums down. Right. Do you want to come? You want to sit at the front? See my friend? Go on. Be brave. He doesn't bite, only on Sundays. Move this round. Right. Now, I need help waking Oscar up. Now, there's not many of you down at the front today, so I'm probably going to need the grown-ups to help with this. So, there we go. So, when I count to three, you need to shout, wake up Oscar. Is that okay? So, after three, one, two, three. I said he was in hibernation mode. That's not going to wake him. You need to shout louder than that. You are, on this occasion, you're allowed to shout as loudly as you can. Is that okay? Right, okay, so after three. One, two, three. You're right. But you've got horrible feeling again. Right, okay. Are you feeling poorly? Not that sort of horrible feeling. Right, what horrible feeling have you got then? That it's still August. And that I've woken you up. Yes, it is still August. But they woke you up. Did I count? Might have done. No, it's okay. Come on. We're seeing the story of Gideon today. Now, was Gideon brave? Was he brave? Not really. No, I don't think Gideon was very brave at all. Poor chap. Is my PowerPoint up, Josh? There we are. Gideon. Now, you see, God chooses all sorts of people. And he decided to choose Gideon. But there was a problem, you see, because the first problem was that Gideon was unwilling. Those who recognize it, that's the Nike sign. And their logo is Just Do It. And when I found that, I thought, yeah, that's exactly, well, not quite exactly how Gideon was, but that's, don't put pictures of yourself on the screen. Joshua. Gideon was unwilling. Now, it seems to be a bit of a pattern here, because I don't know if you remember the story of Moses. When God called Moses, Moses said, send someone else. Again and again in the Bible, God says to people, do you know what? I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And again and again, people go, could you send somebody else, please? Safer. Well, it could be safer. It certainly might have felt it was safer for Gideon, because he didn't want to go and fight the Midianites, because they were a huge army, and Gideon was only little. He came from one of the small tribes. He wasn't from one of the important houses. You see, God didn't want somebody important or strong. God wanted someone who would listen. But to start with, Gideon was definitely unwilling. Gideon was uncertain. Sometimes we talk in church about having heard God speaking. It's a bad sign hearing voices. Yeah, I know, but actually sometimes, and there's many of us in church who would say this, sometimes you just know that God's saying something to you. Sometimes it's a thought in your head. Sometimes with me, it's like pictures in my head. I get these pictures in my head. We were praying this morning before the service. I had a picture of somebody learning to play the piano with somebody else helping them. And I was talking about how we need to be disciples, how we learn from one another. Sometimes it's when we read the Bible, and I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you when you're reading the Bible, but suddenly there's a verse you never noticed before. Or it stands out, and it's like, whoa, where did that come from? Or when you're reading it, your heart just goes, boom. And you go, oh, crumbs, that's about me, isn't it?
and those moments when God is talking to us. But it's hard to work that out for ourselves. And Gideon thought it was hard. So he said, tell you what, God, I'm gonna give you a test just to make sure that I'm hearing you okay. So he got the sheep's fleece and he put it on the ground. Now, we've been camping all week at New Wine. And I have to say, there were several mornings where the dew fell with a particularly sickening thud. And the grass was soaking wet with dew. And everything was wet. The grass was wet. The tables were wet. The tents were wet. The chairs were wet. My feet were wet. Everything was wet. And Gideon said, well, I'm going to put this fleece on the ground. And in the morning, what I want is for the fleece to be wet and everything else to be dry. And God's like, okay. That's what it takes. So the following morning, Gideon gets up and goes out and the grass is dry and he's thinking, haha, there was no dew last night. Yes, I'm free. Walks over to the fleece and it's soaking wet. So wet, actually, he wrings it out. And there's huge amounts of water in it. Now, if Gideon was anything like me, he'd be thinking, do you know what? I'll bet you that sheep's fleece attracts dew. Yeah? I'm sure that's what Gideon was on about. He's like, you know, do you know what? I must have got it the wrong way around. Maybe it's easy for dew to form. Dew's like the little droplets of water that come out of the air when it's cold at night. It's easy for dew to form on a fleece or fur. Yeah, it's easy. So Gideon's like, yeah, I'll take it. Silly me. I actually gave God a test that meant that it was going to happen. So let's do it the other way around. So he said, God, do it the other way around. So let the ground be wet with dew and the fleece be dry. And so the following morning, Gideon gets out of his tent. And you can sort of tell when it's dewy. There's a feeling, a sort of a damp feeling in the air. And you can imagine he stepped out of his tent and the grass was wet. And he's like, okay, this isn't a good sign. And he's walking across the fleece and he's like, shall I? Shan't I? And he reaches down and touches the fleece and it's dry. And you know, if Gideon was anything like me, it would be a case of, oh, crumbs. Gideon was uncertain. He didn't know whether what he was hearing was God's voice or just voices in his own head. But Gideon was unable. This is the Daleks before they invented levitation thingies that they got in the new series. This was the Daleks when they couldn't climb stairs. You know, how to conquer the universe when you can't manage rough ground. Great. Gideon was unable. Well, the reason he was unable was that God sent all of his army home. He had 30,000 men. That's like five times the number of people who live in woodlands and highfields. That's like huge numbers of people. God sent them home and he left him with 300. It's about six times as many as in the building today. That's not many against a huge army. And Gideon's like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And God said, do you know what? That's the plan. And I'm like, sorry? Did I hear you right? The plan is that I can't do it. Well, what use is that sort of plan? Well, if Gideon was anything like me, that's what he's saying. He was unable. He couldn't do it. But the beautiful thing about this story is, although Gideon was unwilling, God was willing. God wanted to choose Gideon. He looked at Gideon and he said, do you know what? You're fab. Do you know what? You're great. Do you know what? You're exactly the sort of person I want for this job. Because you haven't got a big head. You don't think you're all strong and, you know, Rambo-esque. That dates me. God wants you. I've done this before, haven't I? And he wants you. 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 God knows who we are and he picks us. He says, do you know what? I want you to come on this journey with me. Do you know what? I want you to do things for me. I want you to do things with me. We might be unwilling, but God is willing. Next one, please, Josh.
Gideon was uncertain. Ooh, shall I, shan't I? Is this what God's saying? Is this what God's saying? I don't know. Am I the person that God wants to do this? I don't know. Should I do it? I don't know. Gideon was uncertain. But God was certain. Keep calm. God always knows what he's doing. God was certain that Gideon was the person he wanted. We might be uncertain about what we need to do. God isn't. God knows his plans. God knows what he wants for us. He knows what he wants for our families. He knows what he wants for these villages. We might be uncertain, but that doesn't mean that God is. And finally, you know where this is going now, don't you? Gideon was unable to do it with 300 men. There's no way he could win the battle with 300 men. But God was able. By faith, I can do anything. With God, all things are possible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. With God, all things are possible. God is able. So Gideon was unwilling, uncertain, and unable. And do you know what God did? And do you know what God did for Gideon? And what God does for us is he uns the uns. God is willing. God calls us. God is certain. God knows what he's doing. And God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So Gideon, I don't think at the beginning of the story he looked, I found this image online. I don't think at the beginning of the story he looked like that. Actually, I think in my head he looks a lot more like me, sort of slightly out of shape and a bit breathless when he runs and hiding from God. Not really wanting. But by this stage, he's like, do you know what? I'm going for it. And he went for it. And he won. It's one of my favorite quotes. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Let me put that into words you might be able to understand a bit easier. God doesn't call people to do a job who can do the job. God calls the people he wants to do a job, and then he gives them what they need to do that job. So if you're sat there thinking, do you know what? I couldn't do anything for God. I couldn't. I couldn't. Not me. I'm not like the Steves or the Mike or George or Joseph. Or you know, I'm not like Beth. Not like George. I'm not like those people who do stuff. I couldn't do that. They're much better qualified than me. That's not what God looks at. God looks at our hearts and says, do you know what? I want you to do this. And each of us have got something that God wants us to do. Even you. Yeah, even you. And God will give us what we need to do that. Gideon wasn't qualified. God was. And that's what matters. So I'm going to finish with this I found in the midst of what we were doing. 10 things God wants you to remember. I'm going to finish with this. God's saying these things. I am for you. I love you. I believe in you. I will not fail you. I will be with you. I will provide for you. I will bless you. I will give you rest. I will strengthen you, and I will answer you. So remember, if we've got a day when we're feeling very when we're feeling unwilling, when we're feeling uncertain, when we're feeling unable, remember that God's power at work in us can be like God's power that was at work in Gideon, and God uns our uns. And that's a double negative. So God is able. God is certain. And God is willing, because God has called each of us. Good? Good. Because God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. And he knows exactly what he's doing. He always does.